Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And James, there's no shortage of news to go over each and every week. And we always exhort folks to submit news via Twitter using hashtag New World Next Week. This week is no exception. And we give a huge thanks to the folks out there who help supply us with such a great bit of news that we then try and share for the audience out there. James, Hong Kong has erupted over the past weekend as pro-democracy protests bring 100,000 into the streets, and as Zero Hedge first notes, for those curious why the Hong Kong protests that started over the past weekend sent shivers across world markets, impacting both European and U.S. futures, not to mention leading to worries that China may get involved any second and resulting in another Tiananmen Square event, stunning footage, James, from those now ubiquitous killer flying robot cameras that we've been talking about here on New World Next Week for 5+ years. I found in my own Media Monarchy archives mentions going all the way back to May of 2007. There is stunning drone footage out of Hong Kong that shows just how massive these protests are. As Mashable notes, far from a small protest by a limited number of outspoken citizens, this drone footage shows just how large the movement to preserve Hong Kong's democratic elections has become. Currently, as the writing of this, the protests have grown so large that parts of Hong Kong's business district have been brought to a standstill, prompting the temporary closure of 17 local banks. Now, if you're messing up banks, you're really doing something right. But there's also, James, the fear of martial law at any moment, China getting involved in any moment, as we noted, and China even blaming the U.S. for fomenting Hong Kong unrest. And the two-day holiday that's about to take place, I think, will sort of set the stage for what we may see come next out of Hong Kong. But James, let's contrast that with a similar situation happening right here in the States. And this comes to us via Twitter at JeffVasey1, where students know the difference between indoctrination and free expression. In Colorado, students counter-protest to an anti-protest curriculum. A new conservative school board majority in a Denver suburb recently proposed curriculum review committee to promote patriotism, respect for authority, and free enterprise, and to guard against educational materials that encourage or condone civil disorder. So, in response, hundreds of students, teachers, and parents gave the board their own lesson in civil disobedience. Hundreds of students from high schools across Jefferson County School District, second largest in Colorado, streamed out of school along busy thoroughfares, waving signs and championing the value of learning about the fractious and tumultuous chapters of American history, of course, just like we're living through right now. And that story does go on. Of course, even the Koch brothers play into that school story. But James, I think it's interesting to ask what connections we can see between these two stories happening a world apart.
And probably many other stories that are not on our news radar at the moment. But yes, this is, I think, good news next week. I'm glad to see these stories happening. With regards to Colorado, I think it's awesome. This is the way education should really be, should be done. Obviously, you're not going to learn how to ride a bike by watching an instructional video, and you're not going to learn about civil disobedience by reading about it in a textbook. You learn about it by taking to the streets, and what better way to do it than, ironically, protesting a curriculum that's trying to remove civil disobedience altogether, and the vital importance that that has played in achieving some sort of movement in our society towards goals that we want to seek. So my hat's off to the students in Colorado for getting that done, and my hat's off to the people of Hong Kong. For anyone who doesn't know, I guess the one-minute synopsis of this situation, back when the Hong Kong was going to be handed back over from UK jurisdiction to China, back in 1985, there was an agreement signed for that handover that ultimately created something called the Basic Law that went into effect in after that handover in 1997, which operated on a policy one country, two systems. The idea, yes, Hong Kong is technically part of China, but it's got its own system, and it's going to be basically left alone for 50 years. So the idea was, at least until 2047, Beijing was not going to interfere with what was going on in Hong Kong, and as part part of that process of the ongoing democratization of Hong Kong and sort of movement towards that, in 2017, there was going to be an election for the chief executive, kind of like the president of Hong Kong. You can't really call it that, but the chief executive position, there was going to be an election that involved universal suffrage, i.e. anyone could run, anyone could vote. And this was a major step forward, except for just this past August, Beijing came in and said, basically, nope, we're only going to allow pre-approved candidates to run for this. So obviously people in Hong Kong furious about this, and rightly so. I have absolutely no love for the tyrannical regime in Beijing, so my hat's off to the people spilling out onto the streets in Hong Kong right now, getting the job done and trying to turn the tide back towards something more in line with what the people want. And on that note, I'll throw in another tweet that just came out from Jack Harper on Twitter, who tweeted me to say that the Hong Kong protests are now employing mesh networking to get around some of the Chinese censorship that's going on. Excellent stuff. My hat's off. This is the way of the future, and this is what people have to be doing, and I wish there'd be more of this, not just students in Colorado or students in Hong Kong. I wish it would be more of a universal protest against all of the BS that's going on in the world right now.
James, I've seen something just sort of breaking, and it is filtering to the top of the news about, you know, how are they connecting to the internet, you know, when the networks are shut down? So again, people are now learning and searching and learning about things like mesh networking, which again, we've talked about for a while here on New World Next Week. James, let's move to our second story this week with a shocking story that really jumped out at me. Eric Holder takes $77 million job with J.P. Morgan Chase. That's the bank that colluded with Nazi Germany and conspired to create the Federal Reserve. The only catch is that Eric Holder didn't take a job with J.P. Morgan Chase. James, I got burnt. But this story, in the wake of Eric Holder's resignation from the Barry Satoru administration, didn't ring false to me for a second. I didn't for a second question that Eric Holder would immediately go from the government to the banking sector or to some other crony private sector. But that's why it worked so well as satire. So as I do a lot anymore, I do a lot of my news gathering for Media Monarchy via Twitter, because for one, it's so easy, which means it's also so easy to get it wrong. And we've all done it. We've all seen something that we kind of knee-jerk about. James, you and I have caught each other throughout the years on stories that one or the other have suggested, and then we came back and go, hey, that's either, you know, old or false or a hoax or any number of things. So it's a good reminder in a situation like this to remind ourselves to always think twice before we freak out about, you know, stories that may or may not be true. So we all know about The Onion, but it's some of the newer, sneakier, less known satire sites like The Daily Current, which is the one that just got me with this Eric Holder story. There's another clever one that tricks a lot of folks called The National Report. So just kind of put those on your radar, and when you see those names, you'll know. Because again, sometimes they'll filter to just a status on Facebook. And again, you're just seeing the static and the cloud of noise surrounding it. So a huge thanks to BaconPDX on Twitter, someone here who's been a follower of my work, and I appreciate them kind of keeping me honest. So James, Eric Holder did actually resign, and he is one of the worst attorney generals in history, and one of the folks connected to a victim of Fast and Furious notes that it's probably not a coincidence at all that Eric Holder has resigned at this time where Fast and Furious documents probably are going to come out. James?
Well, that's exactly it. This is why it's such an effective piece of satire, because it has that ring of truth to it, and it wouldn't actually surprise me if it was true. So, I mean, this is the exact type of story that these types of satire blogs play on. But it's an excellent teachable moment that, again, we have to exhort people, please do click through to the links, take a look at what it's saying, read through the story, and one of the best ways to identify these satire blogs is in the trending or related stories. There's generally things that'll give it away. For example, on The Daily Current, some of the trending stories: NASA finds message from God on Mars, Christian boy dies for 3 minutes, meets Allah in heaven, Kanye scores scores 106 points against wheelchair basketball team, which is actually a pretty funny headline. But, I mean, clearly this is a satire site, so always check through to the sources. I, for example, just got a story mailed in a couple months ago from a listener who said, "Did you see this? It seems the Lee Harvey Oswald was quietly added to the CIA Memorial Wall." And he sent a link into a blog called The Duffel Blog, which is another satire site that, unfortunately, again, a lot of people take seriously. So it happens, but again, we all have to do the due diligence, and it's good that this is a self-correcting system. As you note on Twitter, at BaconPDX quickly corrected and amended that and said it's satire. So we can keep each other in check, and let's do that, because, again, these types of sites come along all of a sudden, and you may not be familiar with them. So, again, always check through the stories, but on the note of Holder, seriously, us talking about his resignation, it is important, obviously not just the Fast and Furious scandal, obviously that's a big one, obviously the fact that no banker went to jail for any of the incredible fraud that went on under Holder's tenure. There was the too big to jail comment that he immediately backtracked on, oh no, I didn't mean no one's who can go to jail, blah blah blah, but clearly has the ring of truth to it as well. But let's also not forget that this is a career criminal who's had a very long stay at the Department of Justice, and I will remind people of an interview I did a couple of years ago with Kenneth Trenadue about his brother Jesse, or is it Jesse about his brother Kenneth? Sorry, I think it's the other way around, who obviously was killed in federal custody back in the wake of the Oklahoma City bombing. For people who don't know that story, please listen to the Trenadue interviews that I've done. But he also mentioned specifically Eric Holder, who wrote a memo back in 1997 to coordinate something he called the Trenadue Mission, that he likened to the invasion of Normandy to cover up what happened to Kenneth Trenadue. Absolutely incredible bombshell stuff. I've got the actual memo on CorbettReport.com, so we'll link to that as well. This is a career criminal who spent a long time in positions of power covering up important details, so it's good that he's resigned, but he still needs to be brought to justice.
So more on cover-ups in just a moment, but James, as long as we've mentioned banksters, we will throw in one last little nugget under Holder. New secret recordings show Goldman Sachs and Federal Reserve in bed together. Not literally, but pretty darn close. Secret recordings show, again, this is why the Fed will never investigate Goldman, to put it lightly. And I think that acts as a nice little update to last week's story here on New World Next Week about auditing the Federal Reserve. So we move into our third and final story this week. And it's a film, James, you and I were talking off mic. If I knew anything about it, I'd forgotten about it. So I got really excited when I saw about the new film, Kill the Messenger, telling the story. Well, it has all the ingredients of a dreamed up Hollywood blockbuster. Pulitzer Prize winning journalist uncovers a big story involving drugs, the CIA, and a guerrilla army. Despite threats and intimidations, he writes an explosive exposé and catches national attention. But the fates shift. Our reporter's story is torn apart by the country's leading media. He is betrayed by his own newspaper. Though the big story turns out to be true, the writer commits suicide and becomes a cautionary tale. But that's not fiction. It is Kill the Messenger, an actual film coming soon, hopefully to theaters near you. The true story of Sacramento-based investigative reporter Gary Webb, who earned both acclaim and notoriety for his 1996 San Jose Mercury News series that revealed the CIA had turned a blind eye to the U.S.-backed Nicaraguan Contras trafficking cocaine, crack cocaine, in South Central Los Angeles and elsewhere in urban America in the 1980s. It was one of the first ever newspaper investigations to be published simultaneously on the internet, and Gary Webb's story gained a massive readership, stirred up a firestorm of controversy and repudiation. This is where it gets interesting and uglier. After being deemed a pariah by media giants like New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post, and being disowned by his own newspaper, Webb eventually was put out to pasture in August of 2004 at an alternative weekly. 4 months later, he allegedly committed suicide at the age of 49, leaving behind a grieving family and a ton of questions, like why did the big media giants attack him so aggressively, thereby protecting the government secrets he revealed? members of Webb's immediate family, including his son Eric, who lives near Sacramento State and himself plans a career in journalism, expects to feel a measure of solace upon the release of the new film Kill the Messenger. This movie is going to vindicate my dad, he said. James, an interesting extra onto this comes from Consortium News, and it comes to us from our friend G.J. Salisbury on Twitter. Internal report reveals CIA MSM, that's mainstream media, propaganda campaign to squash the Gary Webb expose. A FOIA report, and they've got the PDF, and we'll supply the PDF link for you. It's called Managing a Nightmare, CIA Public Affairs and the Drug Conspiracy Story, wherein the CIA marvels at its own success at destroying a journalist and completely, essentially, trying to cover up the story of the Dark Alliance. James.
Well, I'm also similarly glad that this is going to be receiving a bit more of mainstream attention. I guess would have to put in the caveat that, again, we should be wary that this is not going to be the whole truth and nothing but the truth coming from Hollywood, but at least it will start to bring this attention to this story to more people's attention. And hopefully they can follow the cookie crumb trail back to the sources of real information about what happened to Gary Webb and the fact that he did not commit suicide, he was suicided. As I went through in a previous edition of the Requiem for the Suicided podcast. But regardless of that, yes, he did uncover some incredible things that ultimately started an investigation and that ended up with Skull and Bones' Long Devil Carey presiding over the CIA, basically admitting, yeah, okay, we kind of helped facilitate some drug running, which was quickly then consigned to the dustbin of history. Oh yeah, they officially admitted it, but let's not ever talk about that fact. I think the one of the important aspects of this is what you say is kind of the latest, which is obviously not going to be in the movie since it's just coming out, but the confirmation of what we've known all along, that the CIA was behind the smear campaign on Gary Webb, and the fact that all of these different mainstream newspapers started coming out and saying how he was discredited and blah blah blah, despite the fact that nothing that he said was discredited, nothing that he said was ever ultimately proven false, and it's just, it's so disgusting to see this, but it is good to see the vindication, I guess, of what we've known all along, that the CIA was behind this, and that there are still obviously compliant people in the Mockingbird media that when the CIA comes knocking on the door and says, you better smear this person, will obediently comply, and let's not kid ourselves that that doesn't go on to this very day.
Absolutely. Absolutely, my friend. And, you know, again, it is a Hollywood movie, but I if in some way something like JFK or these kind of films that can really spark that interest and get those people who go see the movie and go, did that really happen? And they're going to go out and they're going to go to the bookstore and they're going to do that research.
JFK led to the revelation of Northwoods. The Northwoods documents came from the records review that was a result of the JFK movie. So incredibly important things can happen as a result of those. Mm-hmm.
So, James, in closing, let's just look at some of the other bits of news that we have going on under hashtag New World Next Week and otherwise, and it's breaking as we come to you right now as we're recording this. CDC confirms the first case of Ebola in the United States, reportedly in Dallas, Texas. James, geopolitical shocker, Afghanistan signs an accord keeping U.S. troops past 2014, if you can just really believe that. Meanwhile, as the power change has happened there in Afghanistan, they now have a CIA-backed warlord that was behind the 2001 Taliban POW massacre sworn in as now the vice president of Afghanistan. And we'll include the link to the 2001 Taliban POW massacre that you can just read the official story enough on Wikipedia. James, also in closing, it's interesting to note last weekend, globalist celebrities convened in Venice for a CFR frontman marrying a former Dulles Brothers lawyer. And of course, that's the big George Clooney wedding, but he is a CFR guy. She is a Dulles Brothers lawyer. And that kind of power coupling begs the question, is Clooney going to try and rise up and get more involved in public life? It's not like we've not had actors act like they're running America before. And we'll bring it full circle and end with one more drone update as Hollywood companies, production companies, a handful of them, win FAA approval for the first commercial use of drones in the United States. James, there's nothing more I can say.
Well, how about the fact that Chelsea Clinton just gave birth to a new Clinton beast, which will apparently be eligible to run for president in 2047 or something. So stay tuned for that. But anyway, yes, a lot more going on in the in NATO poppy fields known as Afghanistan and many other places around the world. So thank you to everyone for keeping us informed on Twitter and through our contact forms. We do appreciate it. And I appreciate you putting these stories together, James. Thanks again.
It's my pleasure, man. Thanks so much.